Well, I guess we'll skip our children's story for today. Since one of our children's is sick and the other one is probably downstairs enjoying the... I don't see her head anyways here. So, today is a day of remembrance. Hebrews chapter 11, we have a whole litany of remembrance. I'm going to take a few minutes to read some verses from chapter 11 and chapter 12, but most of the time today will be yours to share your memories, your thoughts. Hebrews 12 said, "We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." So today we're going to take the time to remember one of those in that great cloud. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangled. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out with us, for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, or the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. By faith, Pastor Mike served God here at Wellspring for 17 years. By faith, he was husband to Eloise, father to Holly and Andrew, grandfather to Hope and Rose. By faith, he was a pastor, a teacher, a writer, a friend, and much, much more. We remember today because of our love for him, our love for his family. We remember today because our remembering helps us to heal from our loss. We remember so that we can continue to grow in God, that we can continue to shed those things that hinder us and the sin that binds us, so that we can run the race marked out for us, just like Pastor Mike did, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, not growing weary or losing heart, but running until it is our turn to go and be with our Lord and our God. Let us remember. Let us mourn our loss. Let us draw together to listen and to be together. Let us honor God together, thankful for Pastor Mike's life and witness. So again, I encourage as many of you to share as you can. I encourage you to share a way that you were encouraged, that you were challenged, that you were inspired, a way that you remember. You're welcome to share your sorrow. You're welcome to share your tears. This is a space for us to remember. I'm going to ask Jeff to play the song for us, to give you a few minutes just to think about what you would like to say. And remember, the things that we say are meant for edification of all. I have a lot of things written down here in case you all don't have things to share, but I know that you do. So these are backup. What you have to say is important. I'm going to start by reading Remembering the Witness by Marion Huber. I want to share three gifts I received from Pastor Mike during the 18 years I worked at Wellspring, plus his 1.5 years at Doylestown. Marion says that Pastor Mike was my pastor, my boss, my friend, and was good with words. I share just three special word gifts that he gave to me that I really appreciated, gifts that I share with you to give us an insight into his heart. Word gift number one. To do. To do. Reserve Thursday, 4/26/2007, lunch. Randy and I would like to take you out to lunch for birthday and sec day. Mike. Word gift number two. Valentine's Day. February 14, 2005. Dear Marion, today is Valentine's Day. Even though you will be receiving this the day after, it doesn't matter. Why? Because you are significant and special every day. Thank you for your patience, your thoughtfulness, and your kindness. I know that I am not always the easiest person to work with, but your considerate and sensitive ways makes it easier for me to grow and change for the better. It's great working with you. God bless you, and may he give you the desires of your heart as you continue to place him first in your life. Happy Valentine's Day after. Sincerely, Mike Manessis. This is Marion's response. Dear Mike, thank you for your wonderful and thoughtful Valentine note. Your affirmations and kind words will keep me going for days, weeks, perhaps years. Can you tell it really gave me a boost? It was good to hear, and thanks for making my day. Love ya, Marion. And word gift number 3 from 80th birthday. April 2018. Happy 80th. And to think that your best years are yet to come. Eternity with Christ our Lord. Smiley face. Best wishes. Love in Christ. Mike and Eloise Manessis. And Marion's prayer this morning is, Lord, help me not to say things that hurt others. Instead, let the words I say be good and helpful, an encouragement to those who hear them. Ephesians 4:29. Who else would like to share this morning? I guess we have a mic for... Just raise your hand, or you can come forward as well.
I guess I've been thinking, when you sit on the beach for a week, you get to think. I've been thinking a lot about God's great faithfulness to Mike and his journey of his illness and his passing. And I've been also thinking of our journey as a congregation. And that Saturday that Eloise sent the email about Mike's hospitalization and diagnosis, I was the one that actually read it first. And Jeff and I were in two separate locations. And I sent it, I called him and I sent it to him. I said, you need to read this. And Sunday morning, getting ready for church, I was standing in our kitchen. I was looking back to the backyard and thinking, what is Sunday going to be like? What is today going to be like? And looking back down our backyard, there's some trees that belong to the property next to us. And it was the end of a rainbow. And I thought, God is with us. God will, he promised he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And, you know, yeah, there was the questionings of what would happen, what's going to happen. You know, we journeyed that journey. And in December, thanks to Larry Moyer's sermon, I renewed my commitment to my sermon notes. And I started again. And just constantly from the month of December, you know, the faithfulness of God in every single Sunday. You know, Larry's sermon, Chrissy Ann's sermon, you being with us, Marta, the Sunday after Pastor Mike passed. You know, Gary's sermon at Christmas time. And then Bill Martin's sermon before Mike's memorial service. And actually, I'm going to actually read a little bit of my notes from his sermon. Okay. It was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me forever in the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, ever. Simple. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack and want nothing. God is enough. All we need. The answer to the first verse is actually in the last verse. God, the goodness will follow us forever, victorious. We will end with Almighty God forever. You know, and then the other one that really sticks out to me is, the situation does not change. God sees power and who he is doing. God sees, that doesn't make sense now that I'm reading it out loud. It made sense to me as I wrote this, and then when I read it myself, but now it doesn't make sense. God is larger than anything, and he has been larger than anything throughout this whole journey that we've been part of. And, I'm just amazed how God has just brought encouragement and his faithfulness to us. And you, Marta, being with us, Hope and Rose being with us on Sunday mornings, and their encouragement and their smiles and their laughters, and that all of us have suddenly become aunt and uncle again, that we just, it's been a wonderful thing. And Anne, I know you've been here with us, only a few short weeks, and will be with us for short weeks until your journey continues. But just how God has faithfully brought, different ones a part of us. And that to me, God's faithfulness has been absolutely what I continue to see for us and with us. And yeah, it's hard, but God is with us, and God is with Eloise. I mean, I'm just truly so blessed to watch you in your grief, and it's just been, a comfort to us to see you. I'm sure you have your moments, and yet, it's been a journey, and that's God's been with us, and he will continue to be with us.
Amen. On Greek Easter Sunday, Oriana spent the midnight mass with her boyfriend's family in Cleveland, and the priest talked about how global warming is very scary, but don't worry, God will take care of you. And she was like, why did the priest saying that horrify me so much? I said, because you grew up with Pastor Mike, and he said things like, corporations should take care of the planet, we should have stewardship of the planet, and we're oppressing the poor by bringing on global warming, which will cause famine and people to be hungry. And I said, you grew up in a social justice kind of church, not a don't worry, God will take care of you church, but God will take care of you so you could take care of others church. And so we talked about how in our family group chat about how, Pastor Mike enabled my children to not just be like, oh, God will take care of us, but rather there are responsibilities for us to take care of others to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to take care of each other, not just not worry. Not worrying is part one. Taking care of each other is part two. And also, I'm very thankful that Pastor Mike, in our early days of being here, we experienced Bible school with Harry Potter theme. And I am so thankful for that, because the church I grew up with condemned parents for allowing their children to read Harry Potter or watch Star Wars or do anything interesting other than, Christian rock. And my kids were able to say, yeah, we love Jesus, but we can read Harry Potter. Like, God is not going to, God is bigger than being afraid of a book. And I'm very thankful that my kids didn't grow up in that fearful environment of a church where you were afraid to do anything because, you'll be a backslidden Christian. My kids don't know what that is. And I'm very thankful that, that phrase was not really used here. They don't have that fear. They have Jesus. And I ran into someone at the grocery store who chastised me for allowing my daughter to go to a liberal college. And I was like, yeah, but she goes to Bible study at a liberal college. Like, it's a liberal college, but it's not. I was kind of thrown back. I was like, yeah, she goes to Bryn Mawr. I'm kind of happy about it. So, I'm very thankful that Mike created that space here for people to be able to grow and not be fearful. There's no growth when you're fearful. My kids and your kids, we're able to grow because we're not constantly thinking about, oh, we might be a backslidden Christian. No, we can read a book. It's okay. I'm very thankful for that.
Anybody get an email from Pastor Mike this week? I did.
Okay.
I was going through my emails on Thursday, and there was an email from Michael Manessis. But I'm going to say these last few weeks have been really hard on me. I've not been feeling well. I've been working, taking care of my parents. Depression's kicking my butt a little bit, just with the added stress and anxiety. So when I looked at my emails on Thursday, and I had an email from Mike Manessis, my first thought was, well, maybe it was something about the celebration service. And I opened it up, and there was just one line. And it said, "Have a good week." Okay. So I was like, thank you, Pastor Mike. Obviously, you can email from heaven. Thank you for the reassurance that I can have a better week. My shifts have been long at Wegmans. When you don't feel well, they're even longer. And as you were reading through Hebrews, I made notes here in my Bible, like I always do. And Pastor Mike said, hold on to Jesus and hold on to your hope. Hold on to your faith. Breathe, make room for God's love to fill you. And I think that's what Pastor Mike did for me. He always made time for me, whether it was a personal issue, whether it was a leadership issue. He always made time for me. And there's not very many people in this world that make time for me. And that really, really meant a lot to me. If he couldn't talk to you on that Sunday, you know, he would always be more than happy to make an appointment, or not an appointment, but make room in his schedule to talk to him. And maybe they weren't words I wanted to hear. Maybe it was some discipline. Maybe it was lots of love, but he always made time for me. And I'm just going to repeat, breathe, make room for God's love to fill you.
The time when Mike was sick was such a blur that I don't remember if I had a chance to tell you all, but the many, many cards and notes and emails, some lengthy emails and letters and things that we received from you all, also from Greaterford and elsewhere, and of course family and friends, those meant so much to him. He would be lying in bed, really not wanting to do anything, and I'd say, do you want me to read the emails? Yes. That was right away. Every note, every card, I read every one to him, and they were the highlight of his day at that time. He wasn't watching TV or doing anything at all except lying in bed, but that was the one thing he really wanted to hear.
There's a couple scriptures that I marked down, one of Mike's last sermons, and a couple things that jumped out. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And then the other thing was like almost like a prophetic word that Mike had spoken about himself. I read it earlier. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only on me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And I said it before, but the idea of the prison ministry and how Mike got that started and how that ripple effect, you know, even though Mike's not here, how that continues to grow and how so many lives have been touched by that, you know. And you know, it's just, I think that's Mike's family, but also that prison ministry is part of his legacy that could keep going for on forever. Who knows how long that'll go on, but I just think it's important to remember that that seed that was planted by him continues to flourish. And there was a quote by Mike that was put on the bulletin. I'm not sure if it was before or after he passed. We are supposed to be going toward a destination. Why should I be sorry to reach my destination? And I think that's important for all of us to remember that, you know, on this earth we do have our troubles, and some of us more than others, but life isn't always easy, and we have to keep our eyes on that prize, at our final destination. That's what we're called to do in the end. You know, that's our goal. And Mike realized that, and I think that was an important message that he wanted us to always remember.
I think one of the things that always struck me, there's a couple things, but we had the Bible study, you know, and on Wednesday nights, right before, right before he passed, and the last, I think his last sermon was on 1 Corinthians, I forget the thing, but anyway, it was about death, and we really talked about it, and it was like he taught us how to die. And how to wait, and, you know, again, it's not, you know, death is not such a terrible thing, and he taught us how to be secure, and that's just one thing that always, that I'm going to, you know, treasure in my heart, that I've never heard that, I've never heard it explained the way Mike explained it, that during that Bible study, and during that Bible study was all about healing the whole 8 weeks, and I can never be so thankful that I did come and that I heard him say that, and he was willing to share that. And then even from the pulpit, he shared that. And I just, it's one thing that I'll always be grateful for. And the other thing is that he, when he would preach his sermons, and he would tell us this and this, and he says, and I'm not preaching just to you. This is also about me. I do these things too. I'm not the perfect preacher. I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect father. And I'm not telling you that I am. He didn't ever hold himself above us or better than anyone else. He just said, this is what the Spirit is telling me, and this is what I need to know too, and I need to learn it too. And I have ultimate respect for that, and the fact that he did that. You know, he did bring some different things to us as well, and I'm very grateful for that as well.
Mm-hmm. There's an article that Pastor Mike wrote that was published in the Mennonite from November, that was read 648 times. So think about a witness, right? It's when you write something in a place like the Mennonite, it's read many, many times. He says he wrote about living with a degenerative disease without losing heart. And he wrote, here's what helps me get along. I need to stay engaged and avoid self-isolation. I need to stay open and share. And there's other points in between. You could look this up too if you want to. I need to stay tuned into God. God speaks. And then at the end he says, hence I need to keep my eyes on the prize. I am on a journey. This is not my end. I will not always be weak, tired, and needy. My destiny is in Christ. Glory awaits me. In short, it's the trajectory that counts. So I had fun this week looking up things that Mike had written and things that were left in the office. He has a lot of things about prayer and encouraging you to pray, and the way that he very concisely said things. I wanted to read this one. I found a half sheet. When we say, "Let us pray," we can say, "Thanks, sorry, help, please, why, yes, and oh, and ah." And then there's little explanations by each one, but finding things like this shows me little bits and pieces, because obviously I didn't know him as well as some of you did. But I go into the room next to his office, to the library where all the books are. And you know, when you go into somebody's library, you can feel who they are from the books that are there. So I understand that Holly still wants to go through the books in his library. So they're there. Nobody's disturbed them. Anyone else want to share anything? I have something to read from Linda, too. So, but I want to make sure that the people who are present have an opportunity to share. May? She's coming.
I'm coming.
You don't have to, but it's better.
Kaylee and I were talking about this morning's service at home this week, and she said she has lots of memories. Kaylee, you're not back there, are you? I really can't see. And she said, "I have lots of memories, but one that I really remember, I wore a blue dress one Sunday morning. It was new. It was a girl's dress. It wasn't slacks. It wasn't a t-shirt. It wasn't anything." And she said, "Pastor Mike came up and said, 'My, Kaylee, you look beautiful today.' Well, you know what that means to a teenager." And she cataloged that in her mind, and that's one of her memories. One of my memories with Mike and Kaylee is that he was open to having her be baptized in a Mennonite church without a lot of Mennonite background, without even a lot of Christian background. But he took her under his wing and gave her a wonderful start, and she does wonderfully. She has our mealtime prayer whenever she's at my place, and she's amazing with what her thoughts are. And this morning she prayed for today to be a good service. My memory of Mike sometimes are full of toughies and full of goodies. Hebrews 11 this morning, Marta gave me a good perspective on how the toughies fit in with a life of pastor and a worker within the church. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reading that.
Linda asked me to read because she can't be here today. She said, "It's hard to believe that it's been 6 months already that Pastor Mike left this earth and went to heaven. My relationship with Mike during the last year or so of his life was very much in relation to his medical issues. It was difficult to watch him become weaker and with increased physical difficulties. I remember what a blessing, maybe not the right word, it was to finally have the diagnosis of Parkinson's and to know that there were medications that could improve the quality of his life. He then scheduled the weeks of Bible study. On hindsight, it seems as though he was given the topics of pain, anxiety, fear, death, and heaven as a preparation for himself and us based on what the future held for him. The evening we talked about heaven, it was clear that he had done much Bible reading and study about heaven and was looking forward to seeing it for himself. When he told us about his cancer diagnosis, it was an overwhelming shock. But through it all, Mike constantly reminded us that he was ready to go to heaven and that he couldn't wait to get there. Now he is there, And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to get feedback from him on what it really is like? There are parts of verses that I can hear Mike saying to us, but none of these move me. Oh, but saying to us, but none of these move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Acts 20:24. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to me. Romans 8:18. I can picture Mike surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses singing joyfully. However, I think his words to us might be, always remember those who have gone before with love, but to follow the new path that God is leading us as a congregation and to be open to whatever he will reveal as our current and future work. I don't want to cut anybody off if you have something you want to share. I think one of his last sermons is the only sermon I ever heard Pastor Mike preach. The sermon where he talked about that God was with him, that God loves him, and that there was no sting in death. And speaking of God's faithfulness, that sermon was what called me here, was what made me realize that this was a next step on the journey for me as well. So in our sharing today, I want you to remember that reminder from Hebrews 12, that because of Pastor Mike's witness, because of this great cloud of witnesses, we are meant to throw off those things that hinder us. That is the challenge that this cloud of witnesses gives to us. Not just to remember in beautiful, glowing terms who they were, but to propel us forward, to make us hunger and thirst for the things that they lived, the faith that they showed, and to encourage us to continue to run the race that each of us has set before us. Mike's race is over. And we can watch how he run. We could study how he nourished himself. We can think about the ways that he persevered and the things that he taught us along the way. But we still are responsible for running our own race. And so we fix our eyes like he did on Jesus. He wouldn't want you to fix your eyes on him. He wants you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the author. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. And so remember, it's good to remember. But let those memories strengthen your relationship with God and your relationships with others. So, what about the final? Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay, well, before we show the video, I'm just going to say a prayer for our congregation, for us. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here today. Thank you for being with us, for helping us to share memories and thoughts that will edify this body, that will strengthen us. I pray, Lord, your blessing on this congregation, Lord, on us, as we continue forward the race that has been set before us. We pray, Lord, that you would lift us up, that you would encourage us, that you would inspire us, Lord. And even as we look back, Lord, that you would help us to use what we see to move forward in your will and your plan for us. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of today and for the beauty of Pastor Mike's life. We honor you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.